about. You still got your boombox? Play something and turn it way up. Something danceable.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they, they ever ask you to put on a pair of green tights, no matter how much they offer you, you just walk away. Walk away.
I make average about $20 to $30.
And what do you use that $20 to $30 on?
Weed.
Okay.
Forget about stomach. Forget about gasoline to my car. These are my weed money. My tips is just for my weed.
Yeah, I wouldn't broadcast that.
Did you get stoned today, Sam?
I'm getting stoned every day, every minute. And even though I don't get stoned, I'm stoned, naturally.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
My issue is that we wake up to this monstrosity.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
They were like death.
Roll another one.
Come on now.
Just like the other one.
But who cares?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I am confused.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Shine. Let's shine.
Kevin, where are you, Kevin?
Roll another one.
Excuse me.
Just like the other one.
Terrorist, you know, situation.
This one seems to be about this mess.
I'm completely stunned by this information.
I don't have another cent.
I keep in pants, always in pants. I take out the pants for pee-pee only.
Couple of dopers, huh?
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
OMG, OMG, OMG.
Or just pass it on down.
And now.
There's going to be so much poop.
Our feature presentation.
That is I don't want to.
Sorry.
How come?
I'm sorry.
Why?
Cheese.
Let me tell you the weird thing is I put that piece of tape together a few days ago. Not having any idea that I'd be starting the show with not one but two poop stories.
Oh,
that's just,
man.
That's just a coincidence that Allie telegraphed that with the poop remarks. Mm.
So that was just a bonus? We were
yes.
We were sort of hoping that that wrapped it up.
No, I'm sorry. That's just the preface.
It was the entree. All right.
I should have asked Omar to come in because this is really, this is DJ Omar Khan radio that you're about to hear.
Do you have anything else that you're weighing? Maybe I have something else that I could use?
No, these are the stories.
Okay.
This is the thing for today.
Okay.
I think one story you'll be pleased with. The other will just, if it affects you the same way it affects me, you'll just be confused by it.
All right.
This one, story number one is in East Granby, I want to say maybe Connecticut. You ever notice how many news websites you go on and there's no way to tell what state you're in?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened with you?
Absolutely.
Like, this is Fox 61, and this story is in East Granby, but what state? Don't know. I think it's Connecticut. Police credit a motion-activated camera with helping them capture a suspect in three cases of feces being found in the middle of a cul-de-sac. Yes, this is a serial pooper who has been caught and identified, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
All right.
A warrant was issued, and Holly Malone, 43, who thought it would be a lady...
Not me.
Zero people?
Holly Malone, 43, of Simsbury, was taken into custody after an unrelated traffic stop connected her to the vehicle in the video. She was charged with a breach of peace and creating hazardous conditions. I was wondering what they charge you with. I mean, I was wondering, is it just littering? I mean, what? It's apparently creating hazardous conditions.
But was it in the street? Maybe that's
why?
It was
in the middle of a cul-de-sac,
yeah, so maybe if cars were trying to avoid it.
they would consider that. I don't
and, know. Or maybe it's just the toxic nature of it.
Sure.
I don't know. It's I don't know how they would classify that. She was released on bond, is scheduled to be arraigned on March 1st. By the way, how's that conversation go with her friends and family? Yeah, I got to go to court. Oh, really? What for, Holly? Well.
Right. And then she says it, and then their friends go, again?
Police said her reason was that she could not make it to her destination or to the bathroom. There were three separate incidents of serial pooping found in the roadway at Kirkstone Drive on November 7th and November 16th. So then they put up a motion-activated camera that was installed, and on December 5th, it recorded the suspect's vehicle and another poop incident. Police described the street as being undeveloped. So that's interesting. I just noticed that. I wonder if that means she kind of drove out of her way to look for a place where it was likely she could get out of her car and not be seen by residents, perhaps.
That makes sense.
Anyway, she was identified and admitted her involvement with the incident. She told them that she is, ready, Allie, lactose intolerant.
Oh, sweet spirit.
And sometimes is, quote, stupid and doesn't avoid dairy.
Yeah, I get everything about this woman.
Her actions. Yeah.
You do, except for her
cul-de-sac pooping.
Uh-huh. Sure,
except for that. So sometimes you just go, look, I know this is going to wreak havoc on my system, but I really, really feel like a pizza.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have a pizza. I'm just going to deal with the consequences.
Worth it.
And is there any health detriment to that experience? I mean, I know it's unpleasant, but does it hurt you at all?
I mean, I can't imagine your body being put through something like that, that you're allergic to. It can't be good. Over time,
I mean,
if you keep doing it.
A positive.
It's not ideal.
But it's not the type of thing, if you did repeatedly, that would land you in the hospital or make you, like, super sick. Or it's not dangerous, right?
It might be.
It might be.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, see, I don't know anything about lactose intolerance. And is that something you're born with? It's your whole life? Or do you develop it later in life?
I don't have that answer, but I don't believe that I could have my mother's breast milk.
Wow. So from the beginning.
So.
Deep
How's
dive
that?
On this
Good
one.
Good morning.
Deep dive.
Hey.
I'm fascinated.
I didn't latch on either. And
that explains a lot of commitment issues, doesn't it? And this one, part two of DJ Omar Khan's Poop Radio Tribute is I just help here. This is out of the UK, a suspected drug dealer on a record-breaking poop strike is now going into his 29th day without pooping. Short version of this story is he was arrested with drugs on him and was charged with the intent to supply Class A drugs, so he swallowed them.
Right.
And they said, well, we're going to have that evidence as soon as nature takes its course. This article suggests, no, it actually says outright, he has been in jail for 29 days without poop.
How is that humanly possible?
I don't
know. My question, Kevin, even better, is how is that humanly possible? How are they in their fifth week of the Essex police waiting for him? And can't you give somebody something that will make it beyond their control to poop?
How is that possible for humans?
Yes.
I would ask, though, is how is that humanly possible?
That's a great question, Allie. It does seem like this would kill you. Like, the toxins in your body after that amount of time, I feel like would kill you.
Guys, I don't think this is possible. Really?
This article suggests, by the way, and again, this is part of my utter confusion with the piece, is that he is in control of what he's eating, and it sounds like his mom is bringing him food.
What?
So he is eating Frosty's cereal bar, he is eating fish, he's eating fruits and vegetables. Again, why isn't the jail regulating strongly what's going in so that they have better control out of what's going out? So there's only so long you can hang on, says a doctor from the Primary Care Society of Gastroenterology. You won't get a devastating buildup of toxins that can poison the body in such a short span of time. You're just going to get a lot of uncomfortable stretching of intestinal tubes. It's an acute situation, not chronic, but ultimately things will move through the bowel and it will empty itself.
But is he smart in that the drugs will also work themselves through his system?
That's a great question.
And then when he poops, he's clean.
In other words, if he just absorbs them into his system, he'll test positive for drugs, but there won't be whatever the bulk evidence was they were looking for to suggest that he was trying to sell it.
Exactly.
The Essex Police, by the way, on their social media has Poo Watch as a hashtag to keep us all updated about any sudden movements.
Do we have to follow that?
We don't.
Okay.
We don't. We can forget we ever heard this story and we can move on, but I had the 1-2 punch of those stories and I said it's too good to not bring them to you.
I pooped my pants.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Just wait.
For today's all-new Kevin Bicho, apparently.
I was very confused. Pete Holmes is going to join us today.
I love Pete.
I do, too. He's got a show on HBO called Crashing, which is great. We're going to talk about that and other things. The Movie Man will join us. Russ Leatherman will talk about Black Panther.
Jeez.
Why the Panther got to be black, by the way?
Huge movie.
He actually is, Bean.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Lee got engaged for a third time.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Allie is a stalker now, officially. She's a stalker.
I mean, this isn't news.
For folks who were listening yesterday to hear how terrible Allie's night was the night before, it all turned around.
I mean, it really did.
Everything is coming up Allie now.
Everything.
This is turning into the best week of your life.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your engagement.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks, Bean.
And it's Friday, so we will keep it 100 as well. We'll come back with the what's happening next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Allie.
Bean.
Allie.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's time.
It is time. You know what this weekend is, you guys?
What is this weekend?
President's Day weekend.
It is. It is also NBA All-Star weekend.
Ah, yes it is.
Come on, guys. Tonight is the All-Star Celebrity Game with Coaches Common and Michael B. Jordan. Some of the players include Justin Bieber, Anthony Anderson, Jamie Foxx, Nick Cannon. ESPN is going to broadcast tonight's game plus all the festivities starting at 7. Then on Saturday is the Verizon Slam Dunk Competition. And Sunday, that's the All-Star Game. But before that, Fergie and Bare Naked Ladies will be singing the U.S. Woo! And Canadian national anthems. Kevin Hart is supposed to be the one introducing the teams. And Pharrell Williams and NERD will be headlining the halftime performance.
That's a lot of good stuff right there.
A lot of good stuff. You won't see Lonzo Ball there, but there is a chance you can see him if you head on down to the Puente Hills Mall in the City of Industry on Saturday. He's going to be available for autographs.
Okay.
The cost of those autographs? Cool, $199.
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No.
And I know what you're thinking.
He wants you to pay $199 for a... What about... Does that come with a selfie?
Well, no. But I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but how do I authenticate it? Like, if I want to sell that, because he's obviously going to be a huge star, I can get some money for that. Well, for just $10 more, you can get it authenticated right there on site. They thought of everything.
Who's going to pay that amount of money for his signature?
You know what's sad? People will line up.
Will they?
Yes.
This is a player who's been in the NBA for 4 months.
Yeah. And is he currently playing or is he hurt?
I think he's out.
I mean,
he's not participating this weekend, if that's what you're talking about. He's free this weekend.
Yeah, this is
$199.
But here's the reason I would say head on down to the City of Industry on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you could convince Lonzo to drop some straight fire like he did on his new mixtape, Born to Ball.
On his new mixtape.
Yes, and this is real. And, yeah, it ends with a really sweet track dedicated to his dad. It's called LeVar.
Ever since a child, your boy been a star. Light skin, colored eyes, I've always looked the part. People looking crazy, asking, is it hard? I just laugh, because I know they talking about LeVar. Y'all can hate him, that's my pops though. First one that's there for me once it got cold. Listen to the story, not just how it's told. Yelling he the devil, but yeah, you the one who sold your soul. Never turn rogue, just had to maneuver through a few cones. It's jewelers eyeing us, Randall, ZO2s by the shoes.
And the we don't sandals. Have to hear the whole thing, do we?
Man, I hope the brand goes.
I'm enjoying it.
Pops working every week, doing different shows. Firing up the fans, firing up the foes.
About halfway through.
They're just a bunch of candles.
I think that's
plenty. We're good. Yeah. However, in the song, he does include his father talking about where he's going to go in the draft. Sound bites of his dad in the song. It is, that is not, he has zero flow right there. And that is coming from the whitest girl you will ever lay your eyes on. I'm nearly see-through. My skin is gray. True. You can see my veins. That's not that. Woo.
Well, we don't need it.
We don't need it.
No.
We don't need it.
But I'd like to go back to another thing.
Uh-huh.
You have to pay $199 to get a signature.
Mm-hmm. But I told you, $10 more authenticated.
Right?
Sure. I'd also like to point out on the NBA All-Star Weekend, if you are lucky enough to run into, say, Magic Johnson, mm-hmm. bet he'd sign it for you for free.
He'd take a picture. He'd yep. probably ask how your life is going.
Mm-hmm. Shake your hand, take a photo, get an autograph. Yeah, exactly.
It is. It's insane.
Wow.
The sense of entitlement that not only he has, but really we have all afforded him. Right?
Wow.
This is on us.
Yeah, we tolerate it. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's on us until no one shows up.
Yeah.
At the Puente Hills Mall. And then he's like, all right, anyone? Anyone?
Have you seen, though, when him and LeVar do signings, do anything? There are lineups down the street.
But do they charge that amount of money?
I don't know if those are for...
That's exceptionally high.
Yeah. What is happening here,
right?
I agree. Well, we were all waiting for that countdown clock on the Smashing Pumpkins website. The countdown is over. They have officially announced their Shiny and Oh So Bright tour.
Yay!
Yes. It's all the original members, original bassist Darcy Rutsky not included. By the way, they're going to be doing all songs from the 90s on this tour. And August 30th, you can catch them at the Forum.
I mean, I guess that makes sense to focus on the material that they recorded together.
Absolutely. Yeah. But don't go if you want to hear, you know, some of his solo stuff. Don't be like, Billy, play that song that I heard.
Just Pumpkins, 90s.
Yeah, just Pumpkins in the 90s. And sad, Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux are separating. Oh, my God. Not okay, Bean.
That wasn't me. That's Nelson. Don't look at me.
All right.
What's wrong with Jennifer Aniston? Come on, Allie. What's wrong with Jennifer Aniston?
Okay, see? You're what's wrong with everything.
Wow.
The woman's been married twice.
Bean, you're what's wrong with everything.
With everything. People online were like, oh, is she unlovable? What's happening? While a dude can be married 10 times and he's a playboy, now you're asking what's wrong with Jennifer Aniston?
Look.
F you.
Look.
Straight to hell.
I'm just saying.
Down with the patriarchy.
I mean, it's possible.
I'm just saying that starting next week, mm-hmm. Kevin, you're going to be very excited that every tabloid is going to be forever now. Are Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt getting back together?
Oh, it's already started. Those were the first things. Like, oh, it's finally time for them to reunite. This woman cannot do anything without being asked why she's single, why she didn't have children, why. It's just insanity.
Well, she should stop screwing up her relationships.
That's Bean at krock.com.
Look, sure I'm just teasing. I hear that she is a lovely, lovely woman, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it's always everyone else's fault when she breaks up in a relationship.
Listen, relationships are hard. This we know. She divorced Brad Pitt,
mm-hmm.
and now she's separated from Justin Theroux.
Mm-hmm.
That's two.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. Okay. If we're talking about people she dated for years, whatever, a John Mayer, throw him in. A Vince Vaughn. Mm-hmm. My God, the woman isn't 12. Because that would be weird.
She's been
married
weird,
twice.
Yeah, that would be weird.
I'm just saying, back off of Jennifer Aniston. I will fight all of you.
I wish her all the happiness in the world.
But I'm not ready to see her on the cover of every single magazine with every rumor that has ever existed.
100%. And you know who would stand by that as well?
Jennifer Aniston. Yeah.
Kevin, you know... Now that she has time on her hands, maybe she can get a friends reunion going.
Right?
which is what you've been hoping for.
We can only hope for that.
We found out last week that Kevin is obsessed with friends getting back together.
I mean, come on.
Lost it.
He can't wait.
Look, stop it.
Why?
Stop it.
Why did you lose it to that extent, though?
Because of the extent of the talk about it since Friends went off the air.
Okay.
Since Friends went off the air, every time one of the cast members... would see another one on the street, they would go, reunion?
Yeah.
And then they would put their picture and they would say, dating?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then every single time any one of the friends would cross paths, there would be all these rumors and it was just, it drives me crazy. That show was pretty good for its time.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
So you don't want Jennifer Aniston to have anything that makes her happy. You don't want her to have a man. You don't want to have her a TV show.
If she wants to do the TV show, let her tell us that and then do the TV show. I'm fine with that. Listen, it's everybody else guessing about it that drives me crazy.
He has obviously talked this out with someone. But if you would like to see his original reaction, go to at Kevin and Bean on Instagram.
Come on now.
We posted it. Holy. He was like purple. There was a vein in your head that I'm not sure you knew existed.
What?
Here's how it started.
Why is everyone so obsessed with Friends?
That's just the opening.
Just go and watch.
And I stand by it.
It was good. It was quality. Some birthdays. We've got Elizabeth Olsen, The Weeknd, Ice-T, Lupe Fiasco, and he taught a lot of us how to read, LeVar Burton. Happy birthday. That's what's happening.
All right, Allie, finally found someone, everybody.
I mean, you guys.
Let's back up a day for folks who weren't with us yesterday to tell us about the awful night you had the night before last.
I mean, not only is it Valentine's Day,
right,
and you're single, but your best friend has moved to New York that day. So you lose a friend.
Super bummer.
Then you've got no Valentine. So you think, you know what? I'm just going to watch some TV. Order some Postmates. Well, I can't watch TV because my cable's out. Okay. Oh, I can't call for Postmates because my phone's not working. Let me at least Google, find out the number for Spectrum so I can call them. Can't do that because the internet's out. My whole bundle, gone. No idea why, but then I remembered a few hours ago, there was a dude up on a pole in the back of my house fixing something.
Right.
Turns out, whatever he was fixing for one of my neighbors affected me.
Disconnected you.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
So then I ordered Postmates. The first order was canceled because they said it was a prefix menu. Then I ordered from another place. About 45 minutes later, they're like, yeah, we just showed up. They don't have that stuff because it's a set menu. Okay, fine.
So in other words, for Valentine's Day, they only are dealing with orders for couples, basically.
Right.
Okay.
So it just hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of pain there.
Yeah. When I called Spectrum, they were actually pretty great about it because they're like, well, it sounds like maybe we screwed something up. Let us put a rush on this. When are you going to be around? Blah, blah, blah. So they gave me a window, which was shocking, between 4 and 5 p.m. yesterday. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
A 1 hour
window.
You
mean like 4 a.m. and 5 p.m., right? So I opened the door yesterday and I think, whoa, I know this guy. The cable man. And I said, have you been here before? And he said, Not yet, Kevin. Not yet.
The cable guy shows up at the door. You know him.
It does sound horny.
We've all seen that movie, right?
No, you can,
he starts playing cable?
Okay. Nope.
Okay,
nope.
Back to you.
So I have had some cable issues in the past. So I thought maybe he's been here before. And he goes, you look familiar too. And then it occurred to me, oh no. It looks like you stole Trevor Noah's face. It was essentially Trevor Noah on a Spectrum cable guy that was super buff. Like, his arms are jacked. Dude is yoked.
Right. May I weigh in as a disinterested party here to say that when you posted the photo, I would have believed you had you told me it was Trevor Noah in your house. That's how much this guy looks like Trevor Noah.
Yes. So we will get to that. But I immediately, after I showed him where he had to... Had to go. I went to Twitter and I said, my cable guy looks like a buff Trevor Noah and I hope he never fixes the problem, then stays and we order Postmates and talk about life. Is this how it works? So he's out in back figuring stuff out again. And so I tweeted, I need to take a picture, right? But not a creeper pic without him knowing. A creeper pic because I asked him, and I'm indeed a creeper. And I was thinking, I am Bean. I am turning into Bean.
I mean, in that instance.
But at least I had the self-awareness that I had to ask him.
Correct, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So then something strange happens. I hear him talking outside, and I look, there's another cable guy. So I'm like, uh-oh. So I wrote, there's now another cable guy here. He totally called for backup because he's no dummy. He's seen Get Out. And then I realized what I looked like. I was wearing a hat all day, so I not only had that indentation in my forehead, I was wearing sweats.
You're a crazy person. At
crazy.
That point.
I tweeted, a better woman would have changed out of sweats or at least put on a bra. I can't be bothered. I should have my estrogen levels checked. Hmm. You know, too much. That was oversharing.
Yeah.
I get that. So then I realized, you know what, Allie? You have creeped out way too many people on Twitter right now. you should switch to Instagram stories.
Start creeping them out over there.
So I went to Instagram stories and I started running a poll. And I'm like, should I take a picture with him or just let this man do his job? Overwhelmingly. I mean, I'm not saying you're enablers, but overwhelmingly, take the picture.
Yeah, of course, because people want to know what he looks like.
Absolutely.
A, and B, there's no downside for people voting on that.
100%.
They're not the creepers.
Right.
I'll tell you, if I were to see someone post that my cable guy looks just like a buff Trevor Noah, I'd be like, let's see it.
Sure.
B, there's no way he will. But let's see it. So he fixed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's great. And I said, listen.
This is going to sound...
It's going to sound really weird, but I think a lot of people would like to see buff Trevor Noah. Can I take your picture?
Did you tell him buff Trevor Noah?
Well, I wasn't going to tell him that part until he said, oh, where are you going to put it? And I said, Instagram. And he goes, oh, will you tag me? I'm like, oh, no. Oh, damn it.
Now you guys are tied together for life.
And so I said to him, I said, then I should probably tell you what I've been putting on Instagram, and he was laughing so hard. He was such a good sport about it. He's like,
but he has to know, he has to have heard every day of his life that he looks just like Trevor Noah.
And
right?
I asked him that. I said, have you heard this? And he goes, yeah, I have. And then I didn't really know much about him. I looked him up, and he goes, what an amazing story. To which I then started pitching Trevor Noah's book. I'm like, you know what you should do? You should totally read his book.
Okay.
It is fascinating. It's a great read. Everything
You're
that went on.
You're terrible at small talk. You really are.
The worst flirter ever. You should really read Trevor
you should
Noah's
read a
book.
Book.
It was the worst. So I posted the picture. And that's when the comments started.
Yeah.
Can I share some of them
sure,
with you?
Sure, please.
I mean, the majority of them were women sending gifts of, like, kittens licking themselves and really pervy stuff, which I appreciated. A lot of men saying, dude, I'm straight, but I'm thinking I have a cable problem now. To one of my favorites, Trevor Woa, I appreciate it. To this one, yo, suddenly my cable's faulty. Do you perhaps Noah? Guy. However, this guy takes the cake.
Mm-hmm.
The sun's visible and it's clearly daytime in your picture. According to the AccuWeather app, the sun set at 5:35 local LA time. You posted this tweet and picture at 5:46 Pacific time. He laid more than just cable at your house, didn't he? And then he...
Yeah, yeah.
Is he still there? Be honest, Allie.
Tied up.
Is he possibly listening to this in your bed right now?
No. No, sadly. Sadly, he is not.
You let him out
because
when you got up this morning?
I then went to his Instagram after, and one of his first pictures was him holding his new baby.
Oh, no!
And I laughed.
No!
That's phenomenal. It made me laugh so hard. I'm like, of course.
Of course. You guys are such a cute couple, though.
Weren't we adorable?
Right up until that
weren't
post.
Weren't you adorable? So I posted the picture, and I said, behold my cable guy. Buff Trevor Noah, only in L.A., you're welcome. Posted the picture, and instantly people started adding Trevor Noah. Like, Trevor, dude, what's going on? What's happening?
Because he does look just like him.
He looks just like him. And a lot of people commented, I was prepared for him to look a little bit like him. This is insanity.
Oh, he's a doppelganger
he
for sure.
He is a doppelganger. And then someone brought up, you know.
Kevin, that means somebody who looks almost exactly like somebody else.
Yeah. I don't
no,
think
he's
that.
Not with us. Somebody brought up that Trevor Noah is on hiatus this week.
Oh.
And they're like, what if he's just been working out, getting yoked? And it was Trevor Noah. I'm like, it's a possibility.
It was a bet where he's going out as a cable repairman?
Yes. Then I woke up this morning and was like, whoa, what happened on my phone last night? Oh, here's what happened. Trevor Noah saw the tweet. So he quote tweeted it and wrote, why are you exposing my side hustle? It is phenomenal. But if you go either to my Twitter at Allie McKay, AlleMackay, or I would say go to my Instagram.
Yeah, probably.
You can see the stories. I put them all right above the pictures. There will be a little circle, and it says cable guy.
Be prepared. You're going to have to spend about an hour to get through them.
We got to get Edgar on real quick because he's just got one unanswered question that's just hanging in the air that I think we need to address.
Edgar, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, just wondering, if you couldn't complete the creep level, did you ask him if you wanted to take a shower by any chance?
I didn't go full bean because everyone knows, never go full bean.
That's a great question, though. Thank you, Edgar.
Again, if you want to see Buff Trevor Noah, we put the pics up on all the Kevin and Bean social media as well, including our Instagram and our Twitter. He really does look like Trevor Noah.
100%.
Yeah. And I'm very disappointed you haven't made plans to see him again, Allie. Very disappointed.
Again, he just had a baby.
But you could be—you'd be a good stepmom, right? What an awesome meet-cute story, though.
It really is.
Hey, Pete Holmes coming up later on the program today, and we got more tickets for you for 30 Seconds to Mars with Walk the Moon. Get a chance to see him at the Forum and qualify for the grand prize drawing. We'll do Monday to see the band again at Madison Square Garden in New York City, including airfare and hotel. We were talking a couple of days ago, Kevin, about people who get married multiple times.
Yes.
Like, how do you have – if you're Tommy Lee, who's in the news this week with his fifth engagement that will result in his fourth marriage, how confident can you be that this is the one that's going to work out for you?
I mean, I can't imagine you're that confident.
Because my guess is when he married actress Elaine Starchuk, he thought they were going to be together forever. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? Everybody has one that doesn't work out.
Yeah, starter marriage.
It's a mulligan.
Starter marriage, yeah. But Heather Locklear, this is forever, right?
Sure.
Oh, you know what? Not so much. But that's okay because now I'm with Pam Anderson, and clearly we're soulmates and we're meant to stay together absolutely forever.
They both like boating.
Right? Yeah. They certainly do.
Look at these videos of us.
And unusual steering techniques. That didn't work out. Right. Then Tommy Lee got engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Sophia Tufa, back in 2014. That one broke up before they even got to the altar. Well, he announced on Valentine's Day, yes, this week, that he is engaged again, this time to a 31-year-old Vine star named Brittany Ferlin. If you're Tommy Lee, you don't have to marry them all, right?
Tommy Lee, do you have to marry them all?
Yeah. Yeah. Bananas. Good morning.
Tommy Lee, for folks who are young and don't recognize the name, was and is the drummer of the great rock band Motley Crue.
Totally Motley.
Right. But you're not doing much these days, are you, Tommy? Like, how do you spend your time?
Oh, playing the drums, still drumming, okay.
Yeah, how do I spend my time? Rocking and rolling, ripping, turbo jet fuel. Life in the fast lane. Pow! Bananas!
Tommy, you are 55. Your fiancé is 31. Is that 24-year age difference a problem?
Oh, I look at age like, is it a number? Who knows? Yeah, bananas, man.
I mean, it is a number. You
know, it's like they say, you know, fall off the horse, rock and roll.
I'm not sure that's what they say.
Yeah.
So this is... Okay.
Vincent Van Bro. Yeah.
So this is the one, though. This is the one that's going to stick, right?
This one's sticking, Angelina Broly. Right at ya. You don't know, bro. Bro Jackson. It's bananas. It's like Brittany Furlong. A monkey, because this is bananas.
Oh. your post. Okay, hold. Rub some more.
He still got it, man. Sounds good.
Yeah. Good God, y'all.
Powerful.
Hey,
Tommy.
Ripping.
Hey, Tommy. Your social media post was, well, this certainly beats chocolate. Say hello to the future Mrs. Lee, hashtag engaged, and you gave her a beautiful heart-shaped rock. Sounds like a very romantic night on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to do a life-size dong-shaped rock, but right. I realized I don't have that much money. I'm driving boats with the dong. JD driving, ripping.
All right. Have you set a date?
What?
Have you set a date to get married? Or just engaged?
Sure.
Okay. So you don't know?
Yeah. You know, she's a Vine star, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was like, hey, I got a vine for you to swing on for the rest of your life.
Okay. Very romantic.
You know what I'm saying? Amy Broller?
Yes, we do. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
yesterday morning here on the show, just after 7 a.m., we were sitting down with the guys from Muse to talk about, among other things, their brand new single called Thought Contagion. We thought it might be fun, if you're listening today, to hear that song. And we'll play it for you next, right after Ali's What's Happening here on this Friday morning.
Well, Black Panther is out.
Right.
It's going to do ridiculous numbers at the box office this weekend. Insiders are expecting estimates of around 165 to 180 million at theaters. And that would beat Deadpool, which currently holds the record. That made 152.2 million over President's Day weekend 2 years ago. So time will tell. But I'm not sure if you saw this yesterday. I am so fascinated by this. A man named Ben Fritz, he writes for the Wall Street Journal. He also has a book coming out called The Big Picture, The Fight for the Future of Movies. And he pulled an exclusive excerpt from his book that you're going to lose your mind over this. So in 1998, a young Sony Pictures executive had to secure the theatrical screen rights to Spider-Man.
Okay.
So he heads over to Marvel Entertainment, which at that time, huge in the comic book world, hadn't done anything else. They, I believe, were just out of bankruptcy, not a good situation, desperate for cash. But its new chief responded with a pretty audacious offer. So he countered Sony saying, how about this? You could have the movie rights to nearly every Marvel character. Iron Man, Thor, Ant-Man, Black Panther, for $25 million. And so this young Sony executive heads back to his bosses at Sony, and their response was quick, decisive. They said, quote, nobody gives a S about any of those other Marvel characters. Go back and do a deal. Go back and do a deal for only Spider-Man. Oh, my God.
Could have had all of them?
Could have had all of them.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
Yeah. So if you're keeping track,
That's awesome.
2008, Sony passes on a deal for $25 million. Since 2008, Marvel's 17 releases have grossed $13.5 billion.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
That would have been, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but it sounds to me like what you're saying is that would have been a good investment.
Would have been kind of a steal, Bean.
Like profitable,
yeah.
Even.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit.
But assuming that they would knock them out of the park like Marvel has, you know what I mean? They would have had to do them just as well.
And let's be honest, they'd be completely different, and who knows how great they'd be. But $25 million,
no question.
To have Iron Man, Thor, Ant-Man.
That guy
who made
that decisive and wrong decision, did he get fired or killed? Either one, does it say?
I think both. Twice. Okay.
Twice.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Just a really...
That's an untold story. At least I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah.
Same.
Well, that's why you have to read Ben Fritz's book, The Big Picture, The Fight for the Future of Movies.
Reading is for losers.
You're welcome, Ben.
This is a room of lies.
Really is. If you can't see Black Panther this weekend because it's sold out everywhere, what about seeing Get Out back in theaters for free on President's Day? Yes.
Awesome.
I brought this story up a couple days ago, but I want you to know again, because President's Day, you're bored, you have nothing to do. Get Out back in theaters for free. Okay.
If you haven't seen it yet, by the way, please do. It's great.
The best. Yeah. But according to AMC, 55 different locations across the U.S. are going to be participating in this promotion. You are able to request one free ticket at the theater box office on the day of the screening. So check the website, see if there's an AMC in your town that is doing this, because really, I did not see Get Out in the theater.
Yeah, it's...
I should have. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the way to see it.
Absolutely. So, remember the movie He Never Died with Henry Rollins?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's now a sequel.
Is there?
It's called He Never Died 2. It's amazing. The Hollywood Reporter says, after saving his estranged daughter from his criminal past in the original movie, Jack is now a vagabond, attempting to keep his supernatural compulsion in check. Along the way, he confronts depraved sadists similar to his own long life of destruction and must defy his inner demons and strike a balance of revenge and responsibility. He was a cannibal in that movie.
He was a cannibal.
He was a loner named Jack. That is fantastic news. No one's happier than Chip, who not only saw it, went to a screening and then a talk with Henry Rollins, right?
Yeah, they did a screening after, a questionnaire afterwards. It was him and Shepard Fairey.
Unbelievable.
Awesome. And that movie is awesome. Like, Henry Rollins is so deadpan in that movie.
Yeah.
And it's just, because I think it's on Netflix still. Check it out. It's awesome.
Chip, don't be lying to the people. Is it on Netflix?
It might be.
She said, she thinks.
Chip said it's on Netflix.
Yes. Yeah.
So go. Oh, Henry Rollins, though. He can do no wrong. He's fantastic. Right?
Reed.
Excellent. You guys, Beyonce is working with Elton John on a new song for the live-action Lion King movie. She's playing Nala in the movie. And Elton John said producers want a new tune to run over the film's end credits. So him and lyricist Tim Rice are coming up with a little something for Beyonce to sing. That is the trifecta of awesome.
A little
right
something.
There. A little something for Beyonce to sing for the closing credits.
I think Elton won an Oscar for his last Lion King song.
Well, he should have. If
his Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
I can. Right? I can't wait for that movie. You guys.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be the best. Some birthdays for you. Singer The Weeknd, actress Elizabeth Olsen, rapper, actor extraordinaire Ice-T, Lupe Fiasco, and LeVar Burton. You guys, I love him so much. Right?
Sure.
Butterfly in the sky. I can fly twice as high.
Sure.
Reading Rainbow.
Sure.
Roots.
Sure.
LeVar.
Love.
That's what's happening.
That is new music from Muse called Thought Contagion on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:05.
I will allow it, by the way.
That's a great song.
I like it very much. Hey, comedian actor Pete Holmes joins us in studio next hour here on K-Rock. Also, our friend Russ Leatherman, the movie man, will be talking Black Panther later in the hour and Keep It 100 coming up because it's Friday. I think we need to do an update, a two-fold update, Kevin, on the Kevin and Bean advertising campaign that is happening.
All right.
Two things are happening. One is behind the scenes, we are working hard and are very close to finding a place where we think we can get away with putting up the first and possibly only Kevin and Bean billboard. K-Rock has hundreds of billboards now all over Southern California for the first time in years.
The
new company, came in and said, hey, you know what? You guys should advertise. Which,
and we said, hey, you know what? We didn't think of it.
Right. So there are lots of K-Rock billboards. None of them had any mention to the long-running morning show Kevin and Bean. So we decided to go out, go rogue and go out on our own and find our own billboard. And thanks to some help from some Kevin and Bean listeners and thanks to our friend Ali Siegel, who drew some tremendous artwork for us, I think that's coming together. And I hope in the next couple of weeks we'll have a location where our one and only billboard will be.
There are a bunch of people who are putting their own up, though.
And that is part two.
Awesome.
That's part two, is our listeners are awesome indeed, and they heard our frustration, and they heard how long it's taken us to get one Kevin and Bean billboard up, so they decided to start helping us out by putting their own billboards up. Not technically billboards. It's everything from a sheet of notebook paper to a Post-it. But people are doing it all over town, and it's amazing, right?
Absolutely, yes.
100%.
So we woke up a couple of days ago, and we saw the sweetest thing at Van Nuys High School Center for the Performing Arts. They have one of those electronic signs out in front of the school, and somebody, I assume without permission, figured out a way to break into the audiovisual closet and change the sign to read Kevin and Bean Mornings on 106.7 KROQ. Allie, what was your reaction when you saw that picture?
Adorable. Someone at that school is awesome.
My first reaction was somebody at that school is going to be fired.
Oh, no.
That's what I thought.
The first thing I thought was, that can't be real, but awesome Photoshop.
Yes. No, I knew it was real because we've been seeing so many people step up and do such amazing things. And then I thought, what is happening at Van Nuys High School?
Well, it was amazing, and we asked Dave, our producer, King of Mexico, to please track down somebody we could talk to out at Van Nuys High School. And I believe we have Fanny Arana on the phone with us right now. Fanny, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Beautiful lady.
Hello.
What do you do at Van Nuys High School, Fanny?
I am the magnet coordinator for the performing arts at Van Nuys High School.
And my understanding, help me, because I've been seeing so much online about your school lately, is when you say magnet, the school is divided into three different disciplines?
Actually, we have four different disciplines. We have the residential school, for the students of the area of Van Nuys. We have a medical magnet for students interested in the medical careers pathway.
Okay.
We have a math science magnet for the brainy kids that love, love, love math and science. And then we have the performing arts magnet. But the cool part about us is that we're like kind of like one-stop high school shopping, because once you're in, you have access to the entire school.
Oh, that's cool. Nice. Oh,
so you get dirt out everywhere.
You got something for everything. Okay.
And what do you, you're
the performing arts coordinator, so you mostly work with the Glee kids, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's not unrealistic to refer to as the Glee kids. I mean, that's the kind of magnet it is, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right.
Energy, high strung, you know, constantly breaking out into like show tunes. Yes, pretty much.
Fame, essentially.
Yeah, fame.
Yes. Yeah.
So what do you know, Fanny, about how this sign happened?
Well, someone who shall remain nameless, me, is a longtime fan and listener of morning shows on K-Rock and K-Rock in general. I've been listening to K-Rock since 1980.
And that hasn't hurt you professionally?
No, but personally, you know, I've lost all of my friends. My children have left the house.
Yes. That happens.
So I'm listening to the radio the other morning, and you guys are all giving out this huge sob story and this whole saga and the drama about not having a billboard. So since I'm the one who has access to that 1960s marquee.
It is a beautiful, beautiful old marquee.
What is it?
It's very beautiful, but it is very old.
It's very old. Mm-hmm. We're not even called the Van Nuys Performing Arts Center. But, you know, it was in the 60s. But you know what? Since I'm the one with access to it, it's run out of an old remote computer in an old attic that looks like when you're walking into it, looks like you're walking up into like a horror movie.
What's happening?
I had it jerry-rigged so that I can actually access it from my desk. And all it took was a couple of strokes of the keys and bingo, you guys are all over the place in Van Nuys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fanny, come on. What kind of reaction did you get from the other faculty there at the school who may have never heard of Kevin Amin or K-Rock?
So I walked in yesterday morning and I pulled up our school Instagram, VNHS Magnets, and I showed everybody. And everybody was so excited and I'm like, woohoo, Fanny. It was really excited and everybody's excited. And then I showed my principal and I had the same thought you did. Either this is going to go over really well or I'm going to get fired.
Right, really well or really poorly.
I got to tell you, we've got the most chill principal in LAUSD. Big shout out to Yolanda Gardea, because she just laughed and she said, all right, rock on.
Where were you when I was in high school? My high school was not this cool.
That is probably in kindergarten, right?
That's so awesome. So yeah. You also say, and I wanted to ask you about this hashtag that you put in your Instagram post, which was, we don't need no stinking billboards. Hashtag, we need a new marquee. Is that something you're trying to get at the school? Are you trying to update that a little bit?
You know, we have an incredible performing arts program. We have a killer athletic program. Our basketball team had their first playoff game last night. And we don't have a way to advertise it. I mean, I've taken to social media, to do so, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a great new website. But to get the public and the community involved, you need one of those cool double marquees out on one side of the street on the athletic field and out in front of the auditorium so we can really promote how amazing we are.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Yeah. I'm so glad that you didn't get into any kind of trouble and this has gone over so well for you. I can't tell you how touched we are by you putting this in front of people. I mean, it really means the world to us. I bet more people have seen what you've done than anything K-Rock has done for us in the last 30 years.
I'm so sorry. That's so bad.
But it's also true. You're so awesome, Fanny. Kevin, I think you're right. Was anyone as cool as Fanny is when we were going to high school?
No.
Mm-mm. No, it's absurd. It's amazing.
I'm just still a teenager, so I sit right in.
All right.
And once you keep that teenager mentality for the rest of your life, you're always golden.
Amen.
I love it. Well, listen, can we thank you again publicly and Van Nuys High School and your students? You guys are awesome. And can we just say go Wolfpack?
Go Wolfpack Pride, because you know what? There's always something great happening at Van Nuys High School.
And by the way, can we try to come up with a way to get you a new marquee?
You can absolutely do that. I'll be your best friend.
All right.
What if we did a Kevin and Bean bake sale? Or a car wash? Okay.
No, students do. We can't do a bake sale.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure something out.
What if we sell edibles in our bake
sale? That's what I'm saying, girlfriend. We can't do a bake sale.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, let's not promise anything we don't know that we're going to be able to deliver, but we'll certainly have a meeting on it and see if there's any way we can help, because you guys are awesome and we appreciate you showing us so much love out there. All right, Fanny?
I got to tell you something. This weekend we have a huge event coming up. We have a huge oratorio that our students built with the Los Angeles Master Chorale, and I changed my marquee back to that. But tomorrow afternoon, after the Master Chorale performance has ended and the oratorio is in the bag, that billboard is going back up to honor Kevin and Bean.
Come on, you Fanny, roll. You guys.
You're the best.
The very best. We love you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you guys for having me. Let's get a marquee at Van Nuys High School, and let's get some great Kevin and Bean billboards up in L.A.
Thank you, Fanny. We're going to have our friend Russ Leatherman, the movie man, on to review Black Panther.
When does that come out?
I believe it comes out today, Kevin.
What's that?
I believe you've already seen it and already have bought tickets to see it again.
I have both. Yes.
So there'll be a lot of Black Panther talk coming up. But even before we get to the movie, and by all accounts it's amazing, there's so much other conversation going on about this movie. It is more than just a cultural event. I mean, people are really staking their identity on this film, it seems like. And a lot of complicated issues have arisen as a result of this film coming out, being a primarily African-American cast. And Mike Catherwood, you brought up yesterday, you are seeing so much stuff in the media that kind of surprises you that people are putting on Black Panther.
Yeah, it's not only confusing. At times it can be insulting, some of the rhetoric around this movie. And I don't know where it came from, because
to me it seems like it's misdirection. To me, it seems like it's somebody else claiming to be somebody else. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
I've seen, there was a New York Times article about how to properly, yesterday, just printed yesterday, about how to properly deal with Black Panther as white Americans. There's been plenty written about how there shouldn't be any white critics to critique the movie because they can't escape their own bias. And I mean, this isn't the first movie with a majority black cast. It's not even an overtly civil rights. Why did this not happen for 42 or Selma or?
Are those tiny voices someplace, or are they? Is it more mass?
I would have hoped so. I mean, I'm sure a lot of this is the lunatic fringe, but at the same time, I mean, it made its way into the New York Times, so it's not exactly like it's something that's escaping the mainstream.
No white person should review it.
Right.
It's insane.
There was a lady online. She's gotten a lot of kind of internet fame because she tweeted about how she's wondering when, as a white person, she's okay to go see it. Clearly, she can't go opening weekend because that would take away from the experience.
Here's her comment.
Wow.
So I carefully did not buy Black Panther tickets for opening weekend because I did not want to be the white person sucking black joy out of the theater. What's the appropriate date for me to buy tickets? Is next weekend okay? She's being serious, you think, when she writes this?
I rented Sucking Black Joy. It's intense. Yeah, since we're talking about movies.
Okay. Does she feel like the movie is only made for African-American audiences, therefore she's not entitled to see it? Is that what she's suggesting here?
Or maybe she's too entitled to see it, and she better check her privilege.
Right.
That's what I think a lot of this is coming from. People that are so hypersensitive now and so trying to be woke, like the guy that tweeted, white people shouldn't be allowed to review Black Panther lest their innate racial bias subconsciously reflect in their reviewing. White people simply can't be impartial. People of color only, please. This guy looks like he just made me my drink at Starbucks and he's twirling his little mustache with a pair of suspenders on. This guy is the equivalent of a dude that puts feminist in their
But why is this happening, as Mike pointed out, why is this happening now for Black Panther when every third or fourth weekend there's a movie that comes out with a primarily black cast? Why are white people not allowed to review this one and they don't have any problem with them reviewing all the other ones?
Right, exactly. No one tweeted about Hidden Figures.
Yeah,
no one told me, better stay away opening weekend.
Right.
In fact, the idea that you would discourage anyone from seeing something that has a positive message to any discriminated group is counterintuitive to what you're trying to do, wouldn't you think? I mean, the idea of white kids all across America wanting to be Black Panther seems like the most awesome thing possible if you're trying to make racial harmony.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I think so too.
What if these two people that tweeted are undercover white supremacists?
Boom.
Huh?
Boom. Boom.
That's
done.
What I'm saying
plot
is they're acting like they're someone else, but they're really not.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
The whole thing with the movie that, what was it, a month ago, Facebook had to take off a page on its site where people were saying, go to Rotten Tomatoes, review this movie as one of the worst, blah, blah, blah. We will make this movie fail. There are some sick, sick, twisted people in this world.
That's a good point. And that, couple that with the fact that there's clearly posturing. That's why a lot of these people are tweeting these weird things. But let's not kid ourselves. There's definitely people out there right now who are not going to go see Black Panther because I don't want to go see a movie with a bunch of black people.
100%.
Yeah, those people exist. Yeah. That's a shame, but they do
why
exist.
Why add fuel to the fire?
Yeah.
By preventing people who just want to go see an awesome movie from going to see said movie.
I mean, I think it is for everyone. You may get something different out of it than the person sitting in the seat next to you, but it should be available.
Am
and
I
open
allowed
for everyone
to say that it's awesome?
No way.
Because I'm a white guy. Mm-mm. So I can't say that?
No. You know, check your privilege.
I can't say go see it because it's great?
Absolutely. Here's the thing. It's people trying to out-woke each other, which when you're trying to out-woke someone, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's going on in your situation that maybe isn't so woke.
Joe Rogan brought up an excellent point. He said,
use the word woke a lot
woke a lot.
Sorry, Mike.
You should kill your own food? Is that his point?
Yes. Joe Rogan brought up an excellent point. This never happened, not once, for Blade.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Do people not remember that Blade came out, which was a black superhero movie 20 years ago?
Based on a comic book series, black superhero. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, Wesley Snipes kicks a lot of ass. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. Right.
And it just, I can't imagine a world where women would encourage men not to go see Wonder Woman, which is a very kind of thing. It clearly has an underlying women's empowerment message.
But can I say that was great too?
Yeah.
Because I'm a white guy. So. Am I all right saying that's great too?
I don't think anyone's looking for your opinion on anything, Kevin.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
There it is.
Quick reminder, we don't mention it much, but you still can win the 2018 K-Rock All Access Pass. That includes VIP tickets to the Weenie Roast, Almost Acoustic Christmas, and an HD radio sound space performance of your choice. That is a pretty good deal, and it's all free. You head over to krock.com. Hey, I wasn't listening in the last segment, but we decided that white people are allowed to go see Black Panther?
Yes, we decided that.
Oh, good, because I wasn't sure. It's not like there was a lot of controversy about
not
that.
Not only can white people go see it, but they can also review it.
Can they enjoy it?
Yes, they can enjoy it as well, yes.
And not feel guilty about it?
All of the above, yes.
Okay. Hey, speaking of reviews, how about our friend Russ Leatherman, the movie man himself, 6secondreviews.com, whom we have not spoken with, I don't believe, in 2018, but since Black Panther is such a big deal, we thought we'd bring him back on. Hey, Russ, how are you, man?
That it? It's a big deal, huge movie, so let's get the guy we had on 6 months ago.
I mean, basically.
Yeah, well, right.
So, Russ, before we talk Black Panther, and I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts because it is definitely the think piece film of the year so far. It's not the only thing in theaters this weekend, correct?
That's correct. There's so much anticipation, so much excitement, and of course we're talking about Early Man, the animated feature.
Early Man.
Yeah. Now, personally, big fan of these movies. These are from Aardman Studios, Claymation, the guys who did Wallace and Gromit, Chicken Run. And it's about a caveman named Doug, and he's got a sidekick, and, you know, they're threatened because a guy's going to turn their land into a giant mine. Well, let's listen to a little six-second review, if we could. Here we go.
The Movie Man six-second review starts now.
It's no secret that I love these Claymation movies, and Early Man is definitely worth coming out of the cave for. By me!
See what I did there?
There you go.
Yeah.
I see what you did.
Yeah.
And by the way, Eddie Redmayne, Tom Hiddleston, Maisie Williams, I mean, it's got a great voice cast for sure.
I love these movies. I really do. Just the painstaking effort it takes to make one of these Claymation movies, and they're always very, very charming. They've got a British sensibility, so they're generally not laugh riots, but they're so much fun, and they're so charming, and it's getting completely lost. Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, true.
Because it's, you know, of course, about the other movie opening this weekend. But if you have some kids, your family, you want to go see a very good movie, we like Early Man.
All right, it's good to know that one is out there because, let's face it, some people are going to try to go see Black Panther, and it's going to be sold out. So at least you've got an attractive option. So your level of interest going into Black Panther, based on your knowledge of the character, Russ, do you know anything about Black Panther?
You know, I know Black Panther from the last movies, but I'm not. I wasn't a huge fan going in. But there's no escaping this hype, right?
Like, yeah, it's true.
Maybe the most hyped movie, certainly of this year, maybe of last year too. But not just hype, but excitement. You know, genuine excitement about the movie because of the director and everything about it. So, without giving too much away, because I don't want to do that, you have a character, T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman, who's returning to this land of Wakanda because he's got to become king. He's got to take his place as king. But, of course, as happens in superhero movies, you have an old enemy appear on the radar. And so he has to become Black Panther and king and all that stuff. So let's listen to a short clip.
My son, it is your time. You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be.
I waited my entire life for this. The world's gonna start over. I'ma burn it all. What happens now determines what happens to the rest of the world.
The revolution will be live.
Dude. Russ, why do you suppose, with the much more aware, so much more awareness of other Marvel characters, your Spider-Mans and your Iron Mans and your Fantastic Fours and all those, why does this movie have the biggest pre-sale of any Marvel movie ever, with people wanting to make sure they get their tickets ahead of time before the opening weekend?
Well, A, it's badass. That's the first thing. But two, you can't help escape the hype, and you know the answer to this partially only because it's, you know, primarily black cast, black director, Ryan Coogler, who did Fruitvale Station and Creed, a rock star, right? Just a young black director killing it out there. You've got a great cast with Michael B. Jordan, and this is an audience long underserved, right? Like, even going back to, say, Get Out, and Jordan Peele as director and just killing that movie.
Yeah, agreed.
I love that movie, and in fact, I saw that movie 3 times. And I don't see any movies 3 times. Ever. But you go back and you watch it again, and there's something you didn't see before. It's like, oh, that's cool, and then you watch it again, and there's something you didn't see before. I think there's a lot of energy behind this movie. I think the audience is excited about it, and like you were saying before, you don't have to be black, you don't have to be white, and but let's play the 6-second review and we'll talk a little more about it. Here we go.
I don't have that one, I'm sorry.
That's a shame. Okay. So I should talk about it.
I mean, basically, yes.
This movie is a superhero movie that stands on its own, right? Like, it's with or without sort of the black or white stuff, it is just a super cool, well done, amazing looking movie. You know, the set pieces, very colorful, very bright, just looks amazing. With that said, this movie is also not flawless. There are times in the movie, and Kevin, I know you're a huge fan of these types of movies.
Yep.
Well, you know when, like, Spider-Man's climbing up the side of a building?
Yeah.
And the CGI just doesn't look right.
Right.
And there's some moments in this movie where the CGI looks kind of funky.
I didn't know Russ was racist. Did you guys?
What's that?
I didn't know Russ was racist. I thought we've been friends all these years. It finally reveals itself.
The special effects, Bean.
This is so ugly and so disappointing, Russ.
Hashtag me too, Bean.
I agree with you. They tried to do stuff that they couldn't quite pull off yet. Mm-hmm. But
you wonder if they can't do it, nobody can, right? If $200 million can't get you a good-looking CGI character, what can? I will also say that Michael B. Jordan, who plays the villain in this movie, Killmonger, he disappears from the movie for about an hour. And it's like, hey, where'd that guy go?
That's a shame. I love him.
Because by the way, this is one of those movies where you kind of sympathize with that character, where you're like, wow, he's got a point too. So politically, the movie makes some points, but doesn't knock you over the head with them. That's super important because I don't want to be preached to when I go to a movie like
this. Agreed, yeah.
But it just looks killer. It's well done. Like I said, Ryan Coogler is a rock star. This is a character that's going to live on. And what are they saying? Maybe $200 million this weekend?
Yeah, that's crazy numbers they're talking about. I like that it's a review-proof movie because, let's face it, everybody's going to go see it anyway. But it also sounds like it's great. I mean, that's a cool combination.
Yeah, it's awesome. And again, it sounds stupid, but don't forget about Early Man, because that's such a fun little movie.
I haven't heard about that.
You're pushing a rock uphill right now, Russ. Sorry, man. Hey, I want to ask both of you boys one more question before we say goodbye, and that is, I understand a very satisfying post-credits scene in Black Panther. Do not leave early, correct?
True. Don't leave early. And I just want to mention also the soundtrack for this movie, it kills. Right?
Kendrick Lamar,
It's got everything going for it. Yeah, it really does.
Fantastic. Russ Leatherman is the movie man. The website is 6secondreviews.com, on Twitter at 6secondreviews. Thanks for coming back on the show, Russ. We'll call you again in 6 months or so.
6 months.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
Who's with me, guys? Suck it, Blue Monday. It's Fri-yay, right?
Nope.
No, sir.
Bean.
Fri-yay?
No, sir.
Hey, writer, podcaster, and New Yorker cartoonist Pete Holmes is our guest, coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, 7:53. Allie, what's happening?
I'd like to give a little something away before we start what's happening.
All right.
A pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Pacific Amphitheater July 14th.
What if he has to install some cable that day?
It is not the same guy.
Oh.
Not the same guy. Whew. Seriously. Still getting a lot of traction.
Mr. Ally McKay?
On that buff Trevor Noah cable guy that came to my house yesterday.
You said he had a baby. You didn't say if he was married.
I don't know.
Still hope.
Do you think?
Still hope.
Hope's durable.
Hope springs eternal. If you haven't seen it, we'll talk about it coming up later as well. But let me tell you, the guy was buff Trevor Noah.
So you're giving away tickets to Buff Trevor Noah? Or
no, this is the actual Trevor Noah.
Okay.
He's going to be doing a show. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. But right now, if you are caller 20, you can win them. 1-800-520-1067. And your show tickets include free admission to the OC Fair. Again, that is Trevor Noah, July 14th at the Pacific Amp. Good stuff. So a couple weeks ago, we decided to do our own Spotify playlist because here at K-Rock, even though a lot of you think we choose these songs, and boy, do we love the Chili Peppers 5-6 times a morning, as you do as well, we do not pick the music here. So we decided to put a playlist because we all have very different musical tastes.
And sometimes one of us will have three different songs that couldn't be further from each other.
Absolutely. And these may not sound like songs that you would typically hear on K-Rock. Maybe they're artists you've never heard of. So we decided to put together a playlist, and every week we're going to be updating it. So I thought I would bring to you the choices for this week.
All right.
And by the way, you can follow along on Spotify. Kevin and Bean's That's My Jam. It's going to be updated every single week, so you're going to want to follow that. But my choice was a man that I'm telling you, he's amazing. His name is Jacob Banks, and he has a voice that is like butter. And he's going to be at Coachella both weekends, as well as opening up for Ex-Ambassadors, which, if you've heard that dude sing, these two dudes need to have a sing-off because they have some strong voices. But this is a song called Chainsmoking.
It's getting harder to breathe. Chainsmoking your love. Can't be good for my sanity. Can't be good for my lungs.
Sounds awesome.
It kind of sounds like an Ex-Ambassador song.
It does,
it?
A little bit, yeah.
I need a cigarette and I don't smoke. That is some good stuff. Next up is Kevin.
Yeah, mine is Black Foxes. It's a trio out of England. It's sort of, I would say, 40% grunge and 60% emo-ish. And this song is called Manic in Me.
Picking the songs for me. Seriously, that is excellent.
Because we have to play Under the Bridge, Allie. Come on, get on board.
Sorry.
That apologies. Song makes me feel so much better about breaking up with my girlfriend.
Under
there
the Bridge?
A very much an emo song.
Oh. Yeah. Next up is Bean.
We had a young man on our program earlier this week named Jack White. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you are familiar with him. Mm-hmm. He has a new album coming out in the third week of March. Look, I know that I love him too much. I love all of his bands. I love the White Stripes. I love the Rockin' Tours. I love his solo work. I love everything Jack does. The Dead Weather. But his solo stuff, he really just takes the opportunity to just go any place he feels like. And he told us in the interview this week that he got in a room with people he had never played with before just to see what would happen. And this is a song from the forthcoming album that I think has got funk in it. It's got soul. It's got rock. It's got twang. It's got a little bit of everything. It's called Corporation.
Who wants to start a corporation?
Look, it's not for everybody. It's a pretty wild ride, that song. Mike, you're a musician. When you hear something like that, what's going on, do you think?
It's awesome. That is truly remarkably good. It sounds like John Spencer Blues Explosion. Like,
it does.
It totally does.
It sounds like stuff, but it's very unique.
That's the biggest compliment you could get, especially from a rock artist, is that, I could definitely tell it's Jack White, but it doesn't sound like anything else Jack White does.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
That's amazing.
Speaking of Mike.
Yes.
Mike, who's your choice?
Speaking of Jack White, this young lady, one of the proud artists on Jack White's Third Man Records.
Oh.
This isn't brand new, but it's something that I've been listening to a lot lately. It sounds like country rock that you would hear 60 years ago, where women just did not give a you-know-what and just kicked ass. It's Margo Price with Tennessee Song.
What? If I could, how dare you, Kevin? How dare
Kevin,
you?
What?
It's about all of our musical tastes. You don't
have
to. I
agree, that was a great song.
If I can co-sign Mike and support every song Margo Price has ever done on both of her records, she's a tremendous artist.
Thank you. Sorry, Kevin. It wasn't
Agree.
It wasn't about a fist fight at lunchtime and your skinny jeans.
Just can't believe my girlfriend left me. I'm so sad, can't do the best class.
Guys, this is not the point of the Spotify
playlist. Right. Sorry.
It's to bring people together through music, and you can follow along. Kevin and Beans, That's My Jam Spotify playlist. Again, we're going to be updating it every single week. There are choices from Omar, Muggs, Chip, Ruben, Dave, and Christine on there. You can go to krock.com to find it
as
well.
But Christine's are all Jimmy Eat World, so.
They are not. They are not, but it would actually explain a lot if they actually were. Hey, when I come back in next hour, we're going to talk more Black Panther, including a bunch of screenings that the man behind the label that Kendrick Lamar is associated with, screenings that he bought out for some local kids. We're going to talk about that coming up. But first, some birthdays. The Weeknd, Elizabeth Olsen, Ice-T, Lupe Fiasco, and I can't love him more. Did he teach you how to read LeVar Burton?
Oh, yeah.
Butterfly in the Sky, I Can Fly Twice as High.
Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
What's happening?
So good. That's what's happening.
We had a conversation earlier today on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we all concluded that it's okay for white folks to go see the Black Panther movie this weekend, right?
Jeez.
Yes, that was
our
conclusion.
How about if you're as white as Pete Holmes? Oh, can you still go?
How about
if you're
seriously
that white?
Guys, do you really think Black Panther means only black people can see?
No, but some people
Why
are saying
Why not only
that?
Panthers? all mammals, all colors are welcome to see this film. I am one of the whitest people you'll ever meet, and I'm definitely going to go see Black Panther.
There you go. So you got it from
Good, so there you got it.
He is a writer, a podcaster, a cartoonist, an actor. Pete Holmes back on the Kevin Bean Show. K-Rock.
Wonderful to be here. The sound of five people clapping. That's what I've worked for this early in the morning. Five people. At least it was enthusiastic. It's always wonderful to be here.
Pete, you've done stand-up for a long time. I bet you have played for smaller audiences than this room.
I have. That's actually true. We didn't talk about this off mic, but I've done the college market a lot, which is something that we explore in the second season of Crashing. Not yet, but it's coming up.
Sunday. Sunday is when you explore
Well, Sunday is the special Artie episode.
But you have a conversation with Wayne Fetterman about it.
Good.
The sound I watched
of one person clapping for you. That's amazing.
That's what I do.
So my
What do you mean when you say that those audiences are super small? Because I would think the advantage of going to college is you've got a lot of young people who are up for
they don't care. College campus activities are just trying to give them an alternative to getting blackout drunk and doing bath salts. So they just like put a happy face, as you point out, very white comedian in like a student lounge in front of the elevator, and people are just like walking by throwing cups
at me. That
sounds
so terrible.
It was terrible.
I mean, that just sounds horrible.
You know, it's funny, we actually just had Valentine's Day. Obviously, it was a couple
days
ago.
We did too, right here in America.
It's like those people that go like, oh, is it Thursday? All day! You just did that to me. I remember one of the worst Valentine's days of my life. I was working the Boston Comedy Club, which is the club that we built for Crashing. My character is going in and doing, and this is true, when it was a real club, I went in. It was like a $150 ticket because you get some sparkling yellowtail wine, like some terrible mock champagne. Yeah. It's Valentine's Day. I go in on hosting. It's eight people, four couples.
Oh.
And there's like white tablecloths in this terrible club. And there's eight couples. And I go up and I just open with like, I am so sorry. This is terrible. We're going to do our best to have fun. Like an hour and a half goes by. Everybody's like, well, we made a mistake. At the end, Chappelle walked in.
No.
And this is at the height of Chappelle's show. Obviously, it's still a big deal now. He walks in, does 2 hours, closes out. I've been in New York. I've been on TV. I've done shows. I sometimes still get recognized. One time I got recognized in Times Square. Somebody was like, hey, are you Pete Holmes? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I saw you Valentine's Day 2007. Dave Chappelle. People remember it was one of the most epic things that ever happened. So sometimes bad shows, small shows turn into great shows.
Not always.
Not
I
always.
Assume.
This is when Dave Chappelle walks in and takes over this interview.
Hey, that'd be great. I want to talk about my special.
That's a terrible Dave Chappelle.
I hear more of your impression.
Season three.
I can't do it.
You're doing Red Fox right now, aren't you?
Now. I got big muscles. Nah, I'm rich.
I got nothing.
True or false that you opened for Dave Chappelle just a few months ago?
I did. True. Man. I don't know. Have you guys ever opened for Dave Chappelle?
No, we haven't.
You
are. Turns out we haven't.
I'm
just trying to think how little enthusiasm there must have been for you for people who were there waiting for Dave Chappelle.
This white lightning comes in. It's obviously like a mixed group. Obviously, there's white people there, too. This is like Black Panther. All are welcome.
Yeah.
I'm coming out, though. The applause died before I reached the microphone. And it's like a 30-minute walk to that mic. It's Radio City. It's a big-ass stage, and I'm walking out. I get up there, and I realize 5 minutes in, I'm like, I want me to be done. I did fine, and it was an honor to be there. But you're opening basically for our Richard Pryor. You know what I mean? And it's like,
agreed,
I'm sorry. I need to get out of the way.
Everybody is thinking the same thing, which is as soon as this guy's done.
That's right.
Then we get Chappelle.
What the audience doesn't know is the comedian is also thinking that. I'm like, guys, I'm here to watch Chappelle, too.
That's got to be terrible.
And Lauryn Hill, like, it was an amazing show. What am I doing here? I look like the resurrected John Ritter. I'm coming out. It's very uncomfortable for everybody.
We talked to Bobcat Goldthwait, and he used to open for bands when they would have comedians open for
Nirvana. He opened for Nirvana.
Yes. He did.
Yeah. Imagine an audience ready for Nirvana.
Yes.
And sit through comedy.
And the drugs are kicking in.
Right?
Beat it! This was for in utero, not utero. Oh, that was all right.
Pete, would you consider yourself friends with Dave Chappelle?
I would consider myself not friends, a fan and a coworker. That's one of the things that Crashing is
about.
But I
mean, you were invited to open that show, right? Obviously, there's professional admiration that goes both ways.
Yes. He loves Crashing. He told me that it's his favorite show about stand-up, which is a huge deal. It's also because, you know, we built that club, the Boston Comedy Club, and that was the club that he worked at. So when he saw pictures of it, it looked like he'd
seen
it.
So you did the show for him. Basically.
Yeah. Well, I was at the cellar, and he came out of an idling SUV, and he comes out, he's smoking, he's always smoking, and he's just like, hey, man.
He's still attempting it.
Still trying.
I like it.
Hey, man. And I couldn't believe it. It was one of the biggest thrills of my life that he knew who I was.
Yeah.
Because we had met before when I was barking, which is handing out flyers, which is what we show on Crashing.
Yeah, you really do that.
I really did that.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd rather tell that story because I would come in from the cold. It wasn't that bad. You know, my father delivers home heating oil. It's not as bad as like a regular job.
Right.
But I'm handing out flyers.
But there's something about being out
handing stuff out to people who don't want any of it.
They don't want it.
Anything.
They would crumple it up and throw it at you on the regular. That didn't faze me at all. And I would go in, and it was cold. He'd hand out flyers for five hours for 5 minutes in exchange. It was like an hour a minute. And then I see Chappelle in the back. And he's smoking. Always smoking. Inside.
And what's he saying?
And he says to me, he goes, "Hey, man." And I just go, this is a real, I'm touched by the story. I go, I read an interview that you said comedians should go to New York because you get up more. You get to do more sets. And I was like, I just want you to know I moved to New York because of you. Now, I'm somewhat of a known person. Sometimes people say things like that to me. And you got to remember how important the response is, because I've always remembered what he said. And he just went, "You did the right thing, man." Aww. And I was like, he didn't have to say that.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, he could have been like, "I don't know if you're funny." Like, he could have. He could have kept it real, but that's what crashing is about, is those little moments where these super famous, and he was super famous even back then, comedians take a moment to help out the guys starting out, because that's what the show is about, is people starting out in comedy.
That's what the show's about, and every week when I watch it, Pete, I'm amazed that anyone survives it long enough to become a successful comedian. Why isn't the dropout rate 100%?
I know. That's why we do it in New York, man, because New York is like stand-up. It's like show business. It doesn't want you, and it doesn't need you.
And so you have to fight against it from the very
first
step.
Constantly. Even to do something terrible that I wouldn't even want to do anymore, you have to wait in line for 5 hours or hand out flyers for 5 hours just for the opportunity to degrade yourself. And that's why the show's called Crashing. It's not called Flourishing. We want to show what it's like to really go through the grind. So even if whatever your dream is, whatever you'd like to be doing, like the message of the show is, if it sucks, that's how you know you're doing it right. And we try and make fun of that and give people a little bit of hope. Like, that's how you know you're part of a great lineage. Chappelle, I don't know if he handed out flyers.
He didn't hand out flyers, Sarah, but everyone else did.
He was magic from the beginning. Right. But Sarah Silverman, who was on our show, she handed out flyers for the Boston. Dimitri Martin handed out flyers for the Boston. I used to just take such comfort in the fact that whatever I was doing that stunk, other legends had done it. And that's basically what the show is about.
Yeah.
I think that's very smart to keep that perspective in mind, certainly. All right, Crashing airs Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO. More with our guest Pete Holmes when we return, especially about this Sunday night show, because it is one of the most extraordinary shows of the series so far, I would say. Wouldn't you, Pete?
For sure. It's so deep. I don't want to say extra special, because that
and
makes
honest.
It sound like growing pains, but it is. It's an extra special episode of Crashing this Sunday, which is why I wanted to come on and talk about it. So
and we'll talk about it next, right after this on K-Rock. Our guest is the delightful Pete Holmes, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I mentioned it in the early introduction, but you really are a New Yorker cartoonist in addition to being a writer, actor, and podcaster, right, Pete?
Oh, that's so funny. Either people don't care at all or they care a lot.
Well, I think it's...
Either people are just like, "Nerd!"
That's the gold standard for cartooning, though, is the New Yorker.
Oh, I wanted to do it since I was like 10 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah, I still only read the cartoons. I understand there's some cutting-edge journalism in there as well, but I'm just looking for the funny boxes.
I know we can't spend any time on this topic because it means instant radio death with our listeners, but how many rejections did you get before you got a cartoon printed?
Really?
Literally hundreds.
10 a week for 6 months before I sold my first one. And that was good. Some people would go years and years. My favorite, Bruce Eric Kaplan, he signs at BEK. He's also a Seinfeld writer and stuff. He submitted for years, so thousands.
That's, again, it's the same thing. It's fascinating that you put up with that much rejection and just keep going.
That's what I'm saying. That's
how it doesn't take your soul away.
That's what I'm trying to say. On Crashing, that's the whole point of the show. We might even do a New Yorker cartoon arc, like a couple episodes about it, because, like you said, it's not that interesting, but it's pretty interesting.
But your tenacity is, I mean, like, where do you get the optimism and the confidence to go back to the mailbox again this week and send in something that almost certainly will be rejected?
Well, what's funny about it is, like, you need to have a certain level of dysfunctional confidence, or functional confidence, meaning, like, almost delusion.
Right.
Functional delusion. That's like in Mike Birbiglia's movie Sleepwalk With Me, is when you're starting in stand-up, you need to go up, do poorly, get off stage and go, "That went pretty well."
Yeah.
And that's a big part
that's
of what our show's
thing
about.
That sort of carries you through.
Some of the best advice you can get is, don't quit. Like, if you are good and you're getting better and it stinks and you're going nowhere, don't quit. Almost everyone I know that didn't quit is doing fine.
All right, let me ask you a question about that, because this sort of bugs me when there are actors and actresses that get up and they say the same thing. Whatever you do, don't quit.
Right.
There are a lot of people that should quit.
Yes.
Because it's not...
No, you're absolutely
not,
right.
It's not for them.
I'm talking about stand-up, though. Acting is, like, more ethereal. It's like you're going out and you're auditioning and you're waiting for some sort of
break.
There
are comedians that we know. We have a friend, the Armenian comedian. His confidence is 110, and his ability is minus 110, and he should not be confident, and he should not stick with it, and he should give up.
That is...
Seriously.
Buddy, I know people like okay. that, too. But here's the great thing.
Yes.
The audience will tell them. Nope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Eventually, that guy will get the message.
Nope.
Nope.
In this particular case, we've tried to tell them in those words.
Point blank. Well, I like to say to people who aren't completely delusional, I like to say, follow the dream that's also following you. And one of the great things about stand-up is it gives you feedback. That's why I said, if you're getting better, if you're doing well, if you can feel that sort of growth, don't quit, because you should know we're all discouraged along the way. But if you're not getting better and you're not really feeling it, don't become a comedian because you think it's cool to be a comedian or you want to be rich and famous. Be a comedian because you're a comedian. It's
right. Like, but our friend Sam has no gauge of what's good and what's bad, though, because he thinks everything he says is gold.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a problem.
Just because it comes out of his mouth.
He should be a hammy dad. Like, that's not a comedian. That's a dad.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's like, Mountain Dew or do not, guys. Who wants some slice? Like, that's a dad.
Nope. We could tell where you were going with that. We need to introduce Pete to Sam at some point.
I think we do. I think that would be great.
Absolutely do.
Although we do it
if it's, yourself.
We play it like Dr. Phil, and it's really serious.
I know.
I love it. All right, Pete, let's talk about this weekend. Mm-hmm. Crashing Air, Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO. What are we, in the middle of the second season, right?
That's right.
And this is an episode that stands out from the others. Not that you haven't faced serious issues in the show so far, but this one, because it's our friend Artie Lang that we have all kind of followed his public struggles with drug addiction through real life news, this one is hard to watch.
Yeah. This one is, like I was saying before the break, it's an extra special episode. Meaning, you know, Artie, between season one and two, had some trouble. He was arrested and all this stuff. And everybody knows a part of Artie's legacy is talking about his struggles.
Right.
But we were like, would Artie be open to not just talking about them, but reenacting them on the show, really digging deep? And it was Judd's idea, because Judd is very brave.
Judd Apatow, yeah.
Judd Apatow, I'm a coward. I'm like, maybe we just ignore it. And Judd was like, no, I think we should talk about it. And that is a very good Judd Apatow. My Chappelle is not good. But that was a very good Judd Apatow. He's like, hey, call Artie and see if he'll talk about it. And so
what was Artie's response initially?
He was right on board.
He was in initially.
We talked for 2 hours on the phone. I took a bunch of notes. Obviously, I knew a lot of his struggle already, because we're friends. And I was like, are you okay with this? That was question number one. And he was totally on board because not to get too serious, he wants people to know that it's not a joke. It's like a serious thing.
Right.
His fantasy is that he never would have started heroin because he says it's like a real physical need at this point, and he can't shake it. So we're like,
how sober is he now? How long has he been sober?
Buddy, I don't know. That's a question.
You can never answer that, can you?
That's a floating point in time.
And that's kind of what we're dealing with in this episode, is what's it like loving someone and being close to someone who's an addict? Because when are they lying? When are they telling you just what you want to hear? And like, Artie is an incredible artist. He's so funny. First of all, as we're talking about this episode and it's so serious, he can't stop making jokes. The whole time he can't stop making jokes. And imagine if you are an addict and I'm like, Artie, what would you say to me to get me off your back so you could go score? And he would write the scene together, would improvise the scene together, and then film it because he wants people to see it because he doesn't want people making the same mistakes. But the best thing I can say, he keeps it funny. The guy could... We're trying to do this, like, serious intervention scene. The guy speaks in jokes. He's just a running faucet of jokes.
And so, he's such a great actor, too.
Really, I know!
A great actor.
It's scary good.
The guy from Dirty Work?
Like, I feel like he should be a dramatic actor with serious roles.
Dude, I know.
I really do.
I'm hoping big things for Artie. I hope people show him a lot of love for this episode. I hope people watch this episode. I do want to get it out. I think a lot of people are waiting for the episodes to stack up. But the way the TV works is if we don't watch it while it's on, we don't get to keep making them. That's why I was like, I gotta go on Kevin and Bean. I gotta ask people, Please watch. I know this sounds like a great show, so if you're driving around like, I'll watch that when there's 48 of them stacked up so I can have a long weekend and just smoke a J. Please watch it Sunday on 10:30 on HBO. Don't do that.
Was forgive me for not keeping all this straight in my mind, but was it his heroin addiction that got him fired from the Stern Show? Is that how he lost his job?
I'm actually not an expert in the Artie Lang timeline. I think that sounds right. I think Howard was concerned that he was enabling him at a certain point and was like, we got to play rough here.
Well, there's so many ripples that go around an addict that affects everybody in their universe.
Well, that's the thing. And Jed wants to do this episode, and part of it, and so did I. We all did. But he was like, look, we're going to deal with this directly. We're not going to fire him. We never fired him. I already tweeted that we fired him. That just never happened. Mm-hmm. He would tell you the same. That did not happen. And we were like, well, if we're going to work with you, we're going to be real. And Jed has some tough love in him. And he always speaks very directly to Artie. We're always texting, calling Artie, staying on top of him as best we can. And even this episode, he said it was a little bit like therapy. When you're role-playing you.
I can see that.
In your crap. It helps you have perspective. He told me that.
I want to play a clip from the show from this Sunday. And, Kevin, it occurs to me as I look at this file that there is an S word in that I neglected to beep ahead of time. So you have your finger on the button. But this is about
Simple
a 30-second clip. This is a 30-second clip of this
Sunday
night. I don't know.
Crashing episode from Pete Holmes and Artie Lang having a very emotional scene. And you'll get an idea, without even seeing it, just from hearing it,
how great
an actor Artie Lang is. Shut up, you guys.
I'm in recovery, actively. So I would never shoot up with them. First of all, I saw them possibly doing something weird, and I got out of here.
That's good. I'm proud of you.
Oh, thanks for being proud of me.
That's not easy to do. That's amazing. Well, I just want to help you, man. You know, if you're on a good streak, I just want to be here.
I got to tell you something. You know, usually I blow people off like this, but you're different than my New York buddies. You're way more sincere. And I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate it. I do.
I appreciate you. Are you kidding? Thank you for telling me that.
Look, thank you for being here. Nobody else is here. You know, you're probably the best friend I got right now, and I appreciate it.
And he was lying. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Artie Lang on Crashing this weekend. A powerful scene, a powerful episode.
Buddy,
you should be very proud of that.
And when you put it together, like, what is he saying that's true and what is he saying that's not true? Because my character has such a savior complex. So Artie and I talked about it. He's like, well, I would appeal to the part of you that thinks you're helping me, and I would make you feel like a good person. Because that's kind of Pete's addiction, is feeling, my character Pete, he wants to feel like he's fixing everybody.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things you learn as a comic and living in New York and just as a grown-up, is that there's some things that aren't as easy as, like, just go in with a good attitude. Go in and smile and wink and moonwalk on the way out, and everything will be gangbusters. And that's a big part of the show.
It is a really, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea, too, it's also a hilarious show. Oh, by the way,
well,
it's
that's
a
the
really,
thing is
really
it,
funny
the
show.
Funny is really funny, and the serious is really serious and great.
Yeah.
It does both extremely well.
I only want to watch those salty, sweet things. I like things that are funny, but then for some reason you're like, hey, where'd that come from? And then you're laughing again. Because that's what life is.
Yeah.
I
could see fewer sex scenes with you, Pete. If you could take some notes on this season. I appreciate that you're dating and whatnot.
Dude. When I say best episode of the season until this Sunday, you hanging out at that one night stand's house, making lasagna. Oh my God!
Based on real stuff.
No,
I really broke a girlfriend's table with a hot tray of lasagna that I cooked at their place.
That was amazing. Oh, it hurt my heart.
That was so funny.
I've watched that with live audiences. I had no idea our show was so. I knew it was funny, but it's also very cringy.
Yeah,
like people are
totally. Especially that episode.
Yeah,
they yell at the screen. It's
and
crazy.
You're trying to cover it up with all the different stuff. I mean, it's just absurd.
You are so cringy. You are Larry David with hair, my friend.
Yes! That
Crashing.
Is a pull quote.
Sunday nights, 10:30 HBO. Pete, great to see you again.
Thank you
for
having me.
Little 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 9.
We are accepting your texts right now at 1-800-520-1067. There's a little music feature we do every week at this time called Keep It 100. You get to pick any song you like, any song you've ever heard on K-Rock. If we've still got it in the system, you request it, and we'll play it for you. The texture 100 right now at 1-800-520-1067. That is coming up right after the top of the hour, 8:55. Allie, what's happening?
A lot is happening. A lot is happening this weekend, you guys, here in L.A. It's NBA All-Star Weekend. Tonight, it's the All-Star Celebrity Game with coaches Common and Michael B. Jordan. Some of the players include Jamie Foxx, Nick Cannon, Anthony Anderson, Justin Bieber. What? ESPN is going to be broadcasting that, plus all the festivities, starting at 7 p.m. On Saturday, it's the Verizon Slam Dunk Competition. And then on Sunday, it's the All-Star Game. You're going to have Fergie and Bare Naked Ladies doing the U.S. and Canadian national anthems. Kevin Hart introducing the teams. And then NERD is going to be performing at the halftime, which I'm super excited to see them.
Yeah, that's cool.
Back together doing a little something live. But someone that won't be, playing in the All-Star game, because he's not one, and I think he's hurt right now, is Lonzo Ball. We know him from the Lakers.
Sure.
We know him as the son of LeVar Ball.
Unfortunately, sure.
Well, he will be available for autographs at the Puente Hills Mall in the City of Industry on Saturday. And, you know, a lot of people might be heading down there because the cost, a cool $199.
For an autograph.
Get Lonzo Ball's autograph.
Does that include a pair of shoes?
Does not include shoes, him coming to your house,
selfie?
The babysit, nothing.
A basketball? A picture?
$199.
His uniform?
That seems crazy
You
expensive.
Get to play some of his minutes?
But you guys might be saying, but how do I authenticate that for when it's really worth a ton of money and I want to resell it, say, on eBay or in an auction? Don't
you mean
worry.
When he's a superstar for 15 years?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
For just $10 more, you can get it authenticated right there. Right there. One-stop shopping. You guys?
So $209 now.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
There might be tax involved, too. Don't quote me on that.
Hey, this is a dumb question, and I don't expect you to know the answer, but do you guys think there are any other NBA players charging as much or more for autographs than that?
I don't know that world, but that number sounds crazy to me.
It does.
It does.
For not only a rookie, but not a great one.
Yeah. Right.
It's shocking to me.
I mean, I would be surprised if Charles Barkley was selling his autograph for $199.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it seems like it's ridiculously high.
Well, that brings me to why you might want to head down there. Because maybe Lonzo will drop some of his sick beats on you. Because he has a new mixtape titled Born to Ball. And it ends with a really touching, sweet track dedicated to his dad. And it's simply called LeVar.
Ever since a child, your boy been a star. Light skin, colored eyes, I've always looked apart. People looking crazy, asking, is it hard? I just laugh, because I know they talking about LeVar. Y'all can hate him, that's my pops, though. First one that's there for me once it got cold. Listen to the story, not just how it's told. Yelling, he the devil, but yeah, you the one who sold your soul.
Yeah,
never
I think
turn
we're
road.
I think, just had a maneuver. I think we, we got
sorry,
it.
Did we switch stories? We're talking about Jaden Smith now?
Seriously, he sounds like he produced that, didn't he? It's not a lot of flow there. Not real riveting or catchy, but he does interject a lot of his father and sound bites of him during the draft in the song. So
I'm going to text
that
in for Keep It 100. I'm texting that in right
you
now.
You might want to check it out. Good Lord. Some birthdays for you. The Weeknd, Ice-T, Lupe Fiasco, Elizabeth Olsen, and perhaps you recognize this song.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
You guys.
Ways to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow.
It's her birthday.
I love it so much, you guys. It literally makes me get choked up.
Yes, you are choked up right
because
now.
I love that show so much. I loved LeVar Burton so much. He taught me how to read because my parents didn't care. They were like, the nanny will do it. And I was like, no, the man on TV. LeVar Burton, happy birthday. I cry a lot. I get it. I cry a lot. That's me. Yep. It's okay, honey. I taught you how to read. That's what's happening.
Congratulations to Kevin Draper from Alyssa Viejo. Got two tickets to see 30 Seconds to Mars.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
I thought I was supposed to say that.
Oh, that was for Kevin Draper.
Oh, that Kevin. Okay. 30 Seconds to Mars at the Forum, and he also qualified to see them at Madison Square Garden as well. Your chance to win is coming up on the world-famous K-Rock.
Yes, at noon, 3 and 6 p.m. You get that. That's an awesome prize. Speaking of Kevins, by the way, we're about to meet one as it's time for Keep It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
All right, we ask you to text in any K-Rock song, and I don't think Christina from Long Beach got the message because she very vehemently, over and over again, wanted to hear Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone, and that just falls just outside the parameter of what is considered a K-Rock song. I'm sorry, Christina.
It has
There's
to be
no
our,
Danger Zone.
It does have to be in our system.
Uh-huh. Yes, if although, we have it, we will play it.
Although
for it.
You might be
say.
Surprised some of the stuff that is still in the system.
Yeah. So. Number 99 this time around was Hoobastank's Crawling in the Dark, you guys. Oh. Number 101, that was from Alvin and La Puente. Sorry, Alvin. Number 101 just missed Carlos and El Segundo. We will not be hearing In Too Deep by Sum 41. But let's meet that Kevin I referenced, who was Texture 100. He is from Rolling Hills Estate. Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
What's it like going through life with that name?
Right.
You know what? I've been very successful with it, sir.
The really?
Take that,
well, Bean. Don't be a dick.
Because our Kevin points out that it's impossible to watch any TV show or movie and not notice that the dum-dum is always named Kevin.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's
true. Yeah.
That's true.
I think that's it.
Okay. What do you have going on for the long President's Day weekend? Anything special?
Nothing special.
All right.
Relax.
You sound like a lot of fun, Kevin.
Yeah.
What song did you come up with that you want us to start your weekend with?
Violet by Hole.
Oh.
And is there a story? Some reason why? I bet not.
Jesus. Why are you being so dickish?
Just
let Kevin live.
All right. Please enjoy. Here's your song.
The sky was made of amethyst, and all the stars were just like little fish. You should learn when to go. You should learn how.
Forever.
mean, caller Kevin did have about the energy that he should have had.
He didn't have a great deal of personality, but he has great musical taste because that is his Keep It 100 song from Hole. All right, here's a fun fact. I like fun facts about the songs we do for Keep It 100. Song was written in 1991, recorded in 1993, released in 1995, you guys. So that one was on the shelf for a long time. Do you remember Allie McKay? Courtney Love has stated several times that the song Violet was written about her relationship with whom?
Wow.
Song was written about her relationship with whom? That's correct. Billy Corgan.
Oh, no.
How about that? So I'm going to listen to that again and listen up to what she's talking about. Why are you buzzing?
Fun.
Okay.
Not so fun.
Great choice, Kevin. Thank you very much for texting that in. That is the song for this week's Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Allie, you got one more left in you?
I think I do.
Let's do it. Let's poop it out.
Think I do.
What?
Ooh. That was...
Let's not put it that way.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nope.
What's happening?
Black Panther is happening, you guys.
Yep.
It's in theaters now. Hollywood insiders expect it to make about $165 to $180 million at theaters.
Why has nobody been talking about this at all? Why is it just like just a surprise release in theaters out of nowhere?
Everyone's talking about it. Yeah. By the way, that would be even more than Deadpool, which now holds the record. They made $152.2 million over President's Day weekend 2 years ago. So time will tell about that. But all of this talk about Black Panther has brought up this article, which is fascinating to me. There's a man named Ben Fritz. He works for the Wall Street Journal, and he has a new book coming out called The Big Picture, The Fight for the Future of Movies. And he put an excerpt on Twitter where he explains that in 1998, a young Sony executive marched into Marvel Entertainment, at that time just a comic book famed worldwide. But
right.
I believe they had... just declared bankruptcy. They were strapped for cash. And this Sony executive's task was to get the rights for the theatrical screen rights to Spider-Man. So he goes into Marvel, and Marvel's thinking, we're strapped for cash. What about this offer? We give you the rights to nearly every Marvel character, Iron Man, Thor, Ant-Man, Black Panther, for $25 million. So the young executive goes back to his bosses at Sony and says, hey, check out this offer.
Right.
And his bosses say, quote, nobody gives a S about any of the other Marvel characters. Go back and do a deal for only Spider-Man.
Oops.
That wasn't a great move because the Marvel 17 releases so far have grossed $13.5 billion. And obviously there's no way to tell how Sony would have handled that universe. Nobody knows.
They probably could have recouped their $25 million, though.
I think they absolutely could have recouped that. But, I mean, Marvel just owns that universe and does such an unbelievable job. It would be weird if it went to anyone else. But I just thought that was such a fascinating little tidbit. Who's with me? Right?
Readings for losers.
It is for losers. That's why I just gave you the little abridged version.
Well, wow.
Yeah. Get Out is going to be back in theaters free this President's Day. Oh, yeah. But
that's
only
the way to see it.
Free?
Free in a theater. What I mean is in a theater. Yeah.
In the theater. Got it. Yeah. According to AMC, 55 different locations across the U.S. are going to be participating in this promotion. So check your local AMC theaters. But you're going to be able to request one free ticket at the theater box office the day of the screening. So Get Out for free President's Day. That is good, good stuff. And great news, if you saw the movie, He Never Died. The movie with Henry Rollins, where he was a cannibal loner named Jack. There's a sequel, cleverly entitled, He Never Died Too. So that is fantastic news for everyone. And Chip was correct. The movie is on Netflix. He Never Died.
I have checked. It is correct.
All right. So you can watch that this weekend. Get all caught up on that. And
what kind of element that maybe the audience won't expect will happen in the movie? Can you give that away? Mm-hmm.
He's a cannibal.
And is there anything I could expect out of the ordinary? I'm sure there is, but maybe like you can hint to something. I can't wait till Friday.
I mean, he is literally eating other humans. I think.
How much was cut out of the movie, or was everything kept in?
Everything was kept in. Everything they shot was kept in.
That's how movies are made.
That's how movies are made. That's why they are 12 hours.
That's my favorite question.
My God. That is good stuff. And the countdown clock is now over. It was on the Smashing Pumpkins site, counting down to yesterday.
Broke up again?
No, not yet. Not as of this. But the Smashing Pumpkins have officially announced their Shiny and Oh So Bright tour.
Yes, smash those pumpkins.
Yes, the tour kicks off on July 12th, and they have a date here at the Forum on August 30th. So if you want to go see that band reunited, minus original bassist Darcy Rutsky, that will be your chance here locally in L.A. Speaking of locally in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
Now's the time on Friday that we bring in Kat Corbett.
Hey, Kat.
How's my bedhead? It's good.
It's good. You are not as hungover as last Friday when you came in.
I did not go out last night. No.
Okay.
All right.
Wow.
Soft pants night. Soft pants Thursday.
How about that? No, that's a thing.
Excellent. What is happening in L.A. that we need to know about?
By the way, I love all the movie stuff you mentioned, like the Get Outs. You might not know this. Above music, movies are my jam.
Really?
Oh. Yes.
Okay.
Above all. And I love that we live in a movie town.
Yeah, same.
And tonight, I love when we do, there are art houses that do these double features. Tonight at the Egyptian, it is My Bloody Valentine from 1981, the original, back to back with Nightmare on Elm Street 2. Which isn't my favorite. I'm going to go with your first one in Dream Warriors 3. Mm-hmm. But Mark Patton, who stars in 2, is going to be there introducing the movie, as well as the composer from Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Christopher Young. So it's so much fun to be able to see these movies up on the big screen with your fellow nerds. I urge you to go to these things if you can find the time. So there. All right, let's get to Chinese New Year. Tomorrow, Year of the Dog, downtown Chinatown.
What's going to happen?
Parades and Chinese food.
Okay.
And like dragons and stuff.
Really selling it.
Wow.
I love going down to Chinatown from noon to 8 p.m. at the Central Plaza. This is where they're going to celebrate and do, like, all the big stuff. I'm sure there'll be fireworks, right? There's always fireworks.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
And I found this thing, and a little birdie told me that you, Allie, are actually part of the Awkward Family Photos exhibition.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
The Awkward Family Photos exhibition.
Here's the thing with Awkward Family Photos. I did a segment with them when they launched their, at that time, it was just a little blog, putting up really creepy pictures of people's families, weird stuff that went on. And doing the segment with them, I said, I've got some pictures that would probably work. And then they looked at them. They're like, can we have those?
And they're real?
Yeah. Yes. Pictures of me
like
growing
all.
Up.
We want all.
Yeah. So, Mike Bender and Doug Chernak, the starters of Awkward Family Photos, put me in their traveling museum, as well as I'm in a calendar twice, two different pictures.
You're a calendar girl?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
She's an awkward calendar girl.
Well, and I was a baby in both those pictures. They are not great. I'll have to post those later. But
yes, you should.
It is such a fun, anything that they do winds up being super fun, and it's stuff you've never seen before. But what exactly is this?
So it's the Awkward Family Photos exhibition. It's at Esmoa in El Segundo. I think it's running through to April 28th, so you have plenty of time. It's just opening. It's family-friendly. It's free. And it's weirdos like Ali McKay, like,
right?
You know, their pictures. If you thought your family was bad, you know.
Look at Ali's.
Look at Ali's.
I think.
I feel better already.
Is that
already.
What we're saying right
now? Oh, wow.
Agreed.
Took a real turn.
That's all I've got for what's happening. I'm just hanging out.
Well, I like it. Let's talk about some birthdays. Ice-T, Elizabeth Olsen, The Weeknd, Lupe Fiasco, and the man behind one of the greatest shows growing up and the greatest songs ever, Reading Rainbow.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Happy birthday, LeVar Burton. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. Thanks, Kat, on your drive home. That starts at 5 p.m. here on the world famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you Tuesday morning.
What's the commercial to music ratio at his hour?
I know.
Dare you.
Don't bogart that joint. My-
my friend. Pass it over to me.
Zendo!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
My brain hurts.
Roll another one.
Now, never mind, it's not a great story.
Just like the other one.
I'm going to let my butthole talk.
This one seems to be about quit.
Are you doing a black voice?
And I need another hit.
Why is everyone so obsessed with Friends? There's not enough no.
Whoa, I didn't realize this was a trial. Objection, Your Honor.
Roll another one.
The Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Just like the other one.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
This one seems to be about this mess.
You are a factory of sadness!
I don't have another cent.
I've already forgotten it. It's so boring, and it has nothing to do with me, so why would I care?
I wouldn't listen to it.
Right?
Just pass it around.
She has two vaginas.
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
That's not responsible broadcasting.
And just pass it on down.
So anyway, I decided to conclude this call. I hope I can wrap it up. I can't guarantee it, but...
Yo, I'm not in this for long term at all. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure to make some paper, then bounce.
I'm so ashamed. I've never done anything like that in my life. I'm going to have to leave while I still have my dignity.
Too late for that.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm not sure that's what they wanted, but that's what they got.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!